today. Our sermon will just be doing a tangent today on the giving of birth and the grace of God that is always involved and accompanies the giving of birth. I want to start with our lectionary reading from the Psalms, which we haven't had read for us here. We have an Old Testament lesson, a New Testament lesson, and a Gospel lesson, but there's always a Psalm attached. And so as we look today on the theme of the Grand Rapids of Grace, I want to read from Psalm 66. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Dear God and Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who orchestrates all things in our lives. You are the sovereign. You bring us through rough waters and grand rapids, and you bring us out into a place of freedom, of peace, of security, of tranquility. Lord, we thank you that as we go through those rough waters, that we end up in your loving arms. We thank you for being our God and our King. We thank you for being one who comforts us the way a mother comforts her child. Help us to know this day. And Father, if there be those who are in troubled waters, help them to know and to have the hope and have the assurance that you will bring them forth into freedom and into abundance. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was right around this time of the year in May, in 1869, that John Wesley Powell led an expedition down the Colorado River. To say the least, it was one really wild ride through those uncharted waters. We close our service and we say, Lord, be with us. You know, we're going out here not knowing where we go. They didn't really know. They knew what the other end looked like. They knew about the Grand Canyon, but they had no idea. These were uncharted rapids that they were going through as they went down the Colorado River. It went quite a bit faster than he thought. They took supplies, they took food, and they took enough for 10 months. But they arrived in 3 months. Those rapids were rapids. Those were rough waters through those canyons. That water was really rushing, rushing hard. It was 10 months later that they arrived at that very peaceful and very quiet and abundant expanse of what we know of today as the Virgin River. And again, they did so in 3 months. It was a wild ride and it was fast. And by the way, what extraordinary courage. You knew where you were starting and you knew where you were going to end up, but you really didn't know what was going to happen on the way. Uncharted water. Danger. Who knew what was ahead? Enormous courage to embark on this venture. And he did so without his right arm. He had been involved in the Civil War just some years earlier there, and when he raised his arm to have his soldiers, the regiment that he was in charge of, for them to fire, when he raised his arm for them to shoot, somebody shot off his arm. And I think about going down that Colorado River in little wooden boats, and you got that one oar kind of acting as a rudder. That's all you have. Amazing courage. Amazing. Three wooden boats they started out with. On the early first couple of days, they lost one of their boats, and one third of their supplies were gone. It's a good thing they made it in 3 months, I guess you could say. Crashing into the rocks, one of their boats was destroyed. Without an arm, through those rapids, no helmets, and of course no smartphone so you could take a selfie on the way. There are no original pictures. There were pictures taken of a later journey after they had accomplished the first one. This may not be the imagery that you had hoped for or expected for Mother's Day, but the birth canal is a similarly dangerous wild ride. I don't know if you thought about that. The way that we come into the world, complete with hazards along the way. And it is only by God's good grace that we come out into a peaceful place, that we end up in the loving arms of our mom, our dad, the attendant, the doctor, whoever, and into newness of life and a world before us. God is good to us. Ending up into the arms of our mother. I was going to title this sermon, When the Water Breaks, but I thought that would be a little bit too cruel. When the water breaks, and then there's this rush, and we follow down through into the hands of those equipped and charged to care for us. My point is that Powell's story and the story of every birth and the story of every Christian, as depicted in our lectionary lessons, are all similarly the story of these grand rapids of grace. We don't know what's ahead. And it is a wild ride. But God is with us. And he brings us to a place of freedom and abundance and blessing and comfort. Most lives have times that are filled with really rough waters. And I want to remind you that this is true of every Christian. Every Christian. In Acts 14 and verse 22, it says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. This is to be our mindset as we approach the world. We're not here for our own pleasure. We are here under his charge, and we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Our gospel lesson, the backdrop, there is trouble in John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, because the world is filled with trouble. Later on in John 14 and then verse 18, Jesus ends up saying that I will not leave you. He's going to go with us, and he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Literally in the Greek, the word is orphanos. It means an orphan. You will not be orphaned as you go on this journey. In the ancient world, if you didn't have a father, that meant desolation for you. You had nothing. And if you didn't have a mother, you had no comfort. And that's why the old King James version of this verse says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless because I am like a mother. I bring comfort. That's what Isaiah 66 and 13 says. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Moms are comfort. And God is comfort. There is a level of care. There is a level of comfort. There is a level of closeness that comes with having parents. And that is what Paul is getting at in Acts 17, verses 28 and 29, where he reminds the people that you are God's offspring. He is not far away from any of us. You're his child. You know, one of the saddest things that's taking place in our culture is the training of people to be atheists. And think about how they are neglecting care and comfort and closeness. Care, comfort, and closeness are the very things that atheists forfeit. And so they have no comfort in the storm. And they have no hope for a safe landing. But I want to move on to deeper waters here. The Grand Rapids appear in the book of 1 Peter. And we had a reading there. And these folks were in really, really dire straits here. Persecution and trouble. The whole book is about trouble and persecution and suffering. And it was likened unto the days of Noah. In chapter 3 and verse 20, we read about that. Life can be overwhelming with trouble, persecution, and suffering. Look at Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, when the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Your life is going to involve, Christian or not, your life is going to involve these really rough waters. God is not on your side. There are no loving arms at the end. There is no comfort along the way. Yes, life can be overwhelming. In Psalm 107, I have some verses there, verses 23 through 27. And I just like really verse 27. I'll end with that one. They were reeling, they were staggered, they were like drunken men, they were at their wits' end. You think about our culture now. We have jettisoned God, and we have so many people who are just completely at their wits' end. In complete desperation. Because they don't have the care, they don't have the comfort, they don't have the closeness. And they don't have the hope of those loving arms to receive them at the end of this wild ride we call life. Now, whatever else is happening in 1 Peter 3, I want us to look at verse 18 because it reveals to us that Peter really didn't just all of a sudden put on a theologian cap, so to speak, and do an exposition about baptism. It is simply a reminder that Jesus also went through this. Jesus also suffered. He went through really rough waters. The passage is sandwiched and it has bookends about suffering. Look at the immediate context from the slide that we have here in the next one. For it is better to suffer. It's about suffering. The whole book's been about suffering. So right before this passage, the Christians are suffering intensely. And then right after this passage that I just read about baptism here in water, Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whosoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And it's in this context of suffering that Paul begins to talk to us here about what looks like baptism. We see water all over the place, rough waters. Specifically in verse 18, we see that Jesus died. He suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He dies, and yet he's still alive in the spirit. In verse 18, he dies, but his spirit lives. And then in verse 19 and 20, we see something really remarkable, that he has this spirit in verse 19, in which he went and he proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey, but God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were brought safely through water. There's a whole lot there. Now, some people misunderstand this passage to say that Jesus went and he preached the good news to those who were in hell and somehow giving them a second chance or something like that. But that is not at all what this passage says. Your King James Bible may use the word preach, but the word is proclaim. He proclaimed to those who were in the grave, those who at the time of Noah, the worst of the worst, that's who they were, that a faithful life and an obedient life is going to be rewarded. That's what Jesus is doing. He is telling them that you didn't win. Noah won. Noah and his family won. Noah and his family were brought safely through the water. Jesus is proclaiming that to them. He dies, but his spirit lives on. And he proclaims to the worst of the worst that faithfulness, obedience is rewarded, that God's people are brought safely through water. God's people are brought safely through the waters. Safely through waters that are rough waters, rough times, even a flood. And so we likewise, who go through waters, really rough waters, who go through rapids, we in Christ, we're in the ark. And we're going to make it to the end. And the ark isn't destroyed. We are brought safely through water. And by the way, when it says that they are, in the Old King James, it says saved through water or safely through water, it says that they are brought safely through the waters, not by the water. The word is dia. We get our word diameter from that. Okay, and you have a circle here, and the diameter is of that which is across, through. It's not the word by. We're not saved by water. We are saved through water. God uses that water, just like he uses that water breaking in the birth canal to get us safely outside of our mother's body and into the loving hands of the doctor, the mom, the dad, whoever's catching. The water doesn't save, but God uses that water, and he brings his people safely through. It is through water that we are saved. Turning to verse 20, baptism is but a picture of this. The ark was sprinkled upon. The ark was even poured upon, if you remember the story of Noah. Remember, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. They were sprinkled upon. It's a picture of baptism. Sprinkled upon and poured upon. And they were brought safely through that. They made it. It's a picture of our salvation. God brings his people through the rapids, through the floods of life. Trouble may abound in life. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible, and he knew this. Job 14 and 1. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Raise your hand if your life is filled with trouble. And our own physical birth epitomizes this watery torrent. Uncharted waters. And we may have many seasons in our life, just like John Wesley Paul, where we were at wit's end. Not knowing where we're going. Not knowing what's around the next bend of the canyon. And yet Isaiah 3 and 10 says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. Even to those who suffer. Like the saints in 1 Peter who were suffering. Horrifically. Tremendously. Even like Jesus himself. And like Jesus, we can be those who proclaim. Just like he proclaimed that the Grand Rapids are the Grand Rapids of God's grace. And we can remember that he is sovereign. We can remember all through our days and all through the time that we may be going through those torrents that he is sovereign. Let's go back to Psalm 66 and we'll close right here with Psalm 66, the verses that I read as we began. For you, O God, have tested us. Who's doing this? It isn't by happenstance that we're going through these tough times. He did it. He is doing it. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Do we know how silver is tried? They turn up the heat. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. Do you feel overwhelmed? You're carrying too heavy of a load? God is the one who's done that. You let men ride over our heads. Anybody experience that? We went through fire. We went through water. There's our water imagery again. And yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. And all God's people said, amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your sovereignty, for your grace, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you and your loving arms bring us safely through uncharted water. And you bring us safely into a place of quiet, and into a place of abundance, and into a place of freedom. Father, we pray this hour for all of those in our culture, that increasing number in our culture, perhaps in our family, who don't know you, who are comfortless, who don't know that you are close, and that you bring comfort. They've been taught to be atheists, forfeiting all of this. And so they have no one going with them as they traverse the rough waters of their lives. And they have no hope for quietness, abundance, and freedom at the end. Father, you depict yourself to be as a mother this day. And we thank you for mothers. For mothers are comfort. And Father God, it is therefore our prayer that you would help all of us to be as you and as mothers today, to be those who bring comfort, good cheer, and good news to all people. Make it so, we pray in the name of Jesus.